Luke 21 is prophecy. Amen. Praise the Lord, we have a book of prophecy. I wouldn't want to follow a God who couldn't tell me what's going to happen on the earth. I was talking to my son-in-law, Calvin, and he thought they named their baby Coralie, and he's thinking about changing it to Coronalie. Ever since she's been here, the world has fallen apart, man. I'm telling you something, these last 3 weeks. My, oh my. Isn't that something? Well, a little bit of prophecy. There are seven major prophecies in the New Testament. The last one being the book of Revelation, which the whole book is prophecy. But it's amazing. There's prophecy all over the Bible. And all over the New Testament, but there's seven major prophecies in the New Testament. This is one of them. Luke 21. We're not going to read the whole chapter because I want to get to the Psalms, Psalm 46. But I want you to notice in verse 11, the presence of the word pestilences. Luke 21, verse 11, Jesus is telling us here about the last days. And he says there will be pestilences, pestilences. That's a word Jesus used. And boy, we have survived some stuff. Zika virus, SARS virus, bird flu virus, swine flu virus. I think we'll survive the coronavirus. If we don't, I hope you're saved and you're with the Lord. Something's going to get you someday. You ever think about that? Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about some precautions here, but something's going to get you someday. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it says in Revelation. What that means is that prophecy is unique to Jesus Christ. The other religions of the world, the other religious leaders of the world, the philosophers of the world, they didn't speak prophetically. They didn't speak about the last times. They didn't speak about the latter days. But Jesus did. You can trust him. He never hesitated. He never hiccuped. He never cleared his throat. Whenever somebody said, what shall be the signs of the times and of the end of the world in the last days, he just let it flow. Just came, okay, let me tell you about it. Boy, he put his credibility at stake, didn't he? But he's always been accurate. And he's always the same as they just sang. And you can trust in the word of the Lord, not only regarding prophecy, but everything else he said. You can bank your eternal soul and destination on the words of Jesus Christ. And he talked here about pestilence. He talked about nations in verse 25. There being perplexity of nations. You see that in verse 25? Perplexity of nations. We seem to have some perplexity today, don't we? Not just in America, but all over the world regarding this virus called the coronavirus. And then he spoke about panic in verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So I want you to notice those things. Now, you can read the whole chapter. There's so many other things he spoke about. But just for today's message, by way of introduction, notice he spoke about in the last days there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be perplexity of nations, and there's going to be panic among people. Literally, some people's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. One way you can avoid fear is quit looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You don't have to watch the news. You're going to survive without it. I haven't watched it in decades. Now, I'm still doing okay, I guess. Some of the news, you got to understand how they operate. They operate by fear. They operate by the money that companies give them to advertise on their stations, radio, television, whatever it is, internet. And those companies make more money the more people who watch or listen And so the bigger the crowd, the more chance those companies will have by their advertisements to buy products. So they'll keep supporting the station, the radio, the television, and so on. It's just kind of a big circle. And so they literally have to think, how can we keep the people watching? That's how they have to think. And fear is a great tool. Fear is a great tool. And some people are addicted to these sources of information that are breeding a lot of fear and a lot of panic today over a virus. Flus are caused by about 200 different viruses. They guess every year what strain is going to really affect us, and they give people a flu shot based on their guess. It's usually an educated guess. Give them credit. But there have always been viruses, and I want to speak today on our response. What is our Christian response to pestilence, perplexity of nations, panic? What is our Christian response supposed to be? Did you know that we're not supposed to be like the world? Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We shouldn't be worried about the coronavirus. We shouldn't be worried and panicking about what we hear and ceasing to function and end up in a paralyzed state, slaves to the media and the politicians. This is the first time in my life, I'm 63 years old, that the government has ever canceled church services in our country. In New York, it's churches that are over 250 in attendance. In places like Ohio, it's churches over only 100 in attendance. These are canceled, some for as many as 3 weeks now. They won't be having services. Sports venues are canceled, probably colleges and universities, maybe public schools, we'll know by Tuesday, out of fear of this coronavirus. Well, if you read this, I think what we're seeing today is simply the precursors or the forerunners of prophecy. And I want to say to you, on the authority of the word of the Lord, things on this earth are going to get a whole lot worse than what we've seen the last few weeks. So what is our response? What is our prep? Well, turn back again to Psalm 46. I love this psalm. It's been such a comfort to me so many times in my life. I'm glad my dad made me memorize it. I'm glad for dads that have their families memorize scripture. I couldn't say this by memory now. The gray cells ain't what they used to be, but but what a wonderful, wonderful psalm that we should read and study. And I just want to bring out three responses. It says here in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Now notice the wording in the rest of the verse. A very present help in time of trouble. God doesn't forsake us or flee ever. I will never leave you or forsake you. But especially in times of trouble, he is a very present help. He is a very present help. If you get the coronavirus, it says in James 5 and verse 3, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You can pray about that. And he is called our refuge here in verse 1. He's called our refuge in verse 7. He is called our refuge in verse 11. That means he is our hiding place. He is our shelter. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. These are times to keep our eyes upon the Lord and to trust in him. And as a result of verse 1, we have this emphatic declaration in verse 2, therefore will not we fear. And then some things are listed in the rest of the verse, in the next verse, far worse than viruses. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Then Selah is a musical interlude. It is a pause in the music for you to think about what was just said. Now, we're not seeing the earth removed. We're not seeing the mountains being cast into the midst of the sea. We're talking about a virus, of which 65% of the people in the world who have contracted have already been healed of. And yet we're seeing such fear and such panic and people paralyzed and for some reason store shelves being emptied. And now we don't want to make light of this, and I want to just kind of divide this message into three points. We should never make light of anything. This virus is taking the lives of people, mostly old people, mostly people in their 80s, mostly people. We had one die in New York yesterday. She was 84 and she had emphysema. Terrible thing. We feel for her. But it's hardly affecting the young. But anyways, our response, you and I are a trinity, we know that. We are a body, we are a spirit, and we are a soul. What is our response to the coronavirus in regards to our body? Well, obviously, whether there's a virus going around or not, we should take care of ourselves. That's just the Christian thing to do. Our bodies do not belong to ourselves. They belong to the Lord. We need to be good stewards of them. And even just such simple things as washing your hands is wise to do at all times. And wash your hands like a doctor would. I mean, get in between your fingers. Don't go like this. I mean, really wash your hands 20 seconds really good and then rinse them off under running water. The Bible talks in Leviticus about running water. It's amazing. You might want to supplement your diet with some vitamin C. Back in the 70s, there were, I believe, conclusive studies done that shows that vitamin C does boost the body's ability to fight things like germs, viruses, infections, even cuts and other things. It's a very helpful vitamin. I'm not giving medical advice, but I'm just saying if you get yourself some vitamin C and take large doses, 1,000, 2,000, maybe 3,000 a day, that will help boost your immunities. And that has been a 2.5-year experiment I've been involved in lately and been able to avoid colds and flus for 2.5 years. It's been really a blessing to me. That's just something for you to think about. Vitamin C is water soluble. It has no known negative effects on the body that I know of. And it can help boost your immunity. Get a lot of sleep. I'm not saying be lazy or be a sluggard. I'm saying get a lot of sleep. We are a sleep-deprived country. We're staying up too late watching the news, and then after we watch what we watch, we're laying in bed for 2 hours thinking this is Armageddon. No, it's not Armageddon. It's a virus. And people stay up too long watching television, watching Hollywood. Why should we let Hollywood put us to sleep when we can let God put us to sleep? He giveth his beloved sleep, the scripture says. Why do we turn to Hollywood for our comfort when we have God? And people are staying up too late surfing the internet, playing video games, and there's a lot of sleep deprivation. Now, you mix sleep deprivation with stress, and you are setting yourself up to be sick. We should not be stressed out. I'll get to that in point 3 here in a moment. the cure for stress. But stress and sleeplessness combined are killers. They really cause a lot of sickness in people. So sleep well. Check your mattress. Check your children's mattresses. If your kids aren't sleeping well, it might be time to go see George. He sells mattresses for less. A lot less. All right? And we just bought some for out at the countryside from him. We bought one for Calvin and Rebecca before they got married over there. I like him. He's like the Donald Trump of mattress salesmen, man. He just tells it like it is, man. It's pretty neat. I'm serious. How are your kids' mattresses? How is your mattress? We need to get sleep. We need to avoid, well, you can't, but sugar. I'm talking about white, refined, toxic, bleached sugar. We need to avoid that as much as we can. It's in everything, but you can make choices where you can say no to pop and maybe choose 100% fruit juices or water or something like that, because pop has about 11 teaspoons of sugar in each can, approximately. Some have more, some have less. Sugar, sucrose, is a fertile field for the culture of viruses, bacteria, and germs. They love to thrive in a sucrose-based fertile field. And a lot of us have turned our bodies into that by constantly eating sugar, white sugar. I'm not talking about the natural sugars found in lettuce and grapes and tomatoes and carrots and fruits and vegetables that God made in his infinite wisdom to be absorbed into our system. We need those. I understand. I'm talking about this fabricated white granular sugar I'm not going to get off on this. But it's going to produce a fertile and attractive field for these things to attach to you and make you sick. And so to try to wean yourself off that, I know it's hard. It's a tremendous addiction. It really is. And I'm not sugarless, but I'm sugarless than I used to be. And I believe it's helping me. And so there are some things about the body. This is, a Christian response to viruses physically, our body. But we're also a spirit, number two. You and I have a spirit man inside of us. The Bible says, what man knoweth the things of the spirit save the spirit of man that is in him? There is a spirit man in you. He is very real, though unseen. And that is the seat of your emotions, your feelings, your attitude, your will, basically your thought life, not completely, but your emotions and your feelings. The scripture says that if you do not rule your spirit, you will be broken down and like a city without walls. You'll be defenseless. You have emotions, I have emotions, you have feelings, I have feelings. If you do not rule them, they will rule you. All of us have seen the devastation of a human being who is ruled by their emotions. Lust, anger, bitterness, hatred, depression. And we can go on and on talking about emotions that rule people rather than them ruling the spirit. Somebody asked me, don't you ever have a pity party? I said, yeah, but it lasts about 5 minutes. And then I think, this is stupid. And I get over it. And I get my focus back on the Lord. Amen. Verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear. Fear is not becoming of a Christian. That is not God's will. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. This fear we see all over our country and all over the area and all over the world is not God-given. Now, there are rational fears we should have. That's okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't. If there's a rattlesnake and he's going, you know, a rational fear, I'm getting out of there. All right. A crocodile I met down at Clark Hill Reservoir once when I was stationed in Georgia, sitting on the beach, minding my own business, and he come up to see how I was doing. And I'd never seen one in my life. I was all alone. And back then, I was a fast runner. And there's nothing wrong with having rational fears. That was spooky. I mean, I just bolted. Rational fears, okay. Have a healthy fear of gravity. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to have. We ought to fear God. Amen. We ought to fear the Lord. Go through the book of Proverbs. Every time you see the fear of the Lord mentioned in Proverbs, study the attaching promise. Wonderful promises to those that fear God. But we're talking about irrational fears here, about what might happen. And all you can do is do what you can physically to take care of your body, to fight these things off, number one, but then rule your emotions, number two. Say, I'm not going to be, therefore will not we fear. I don't know who the sons of Korah were that wrote this psalm. There's different opinions on that, but I like their resolve. Therefore will not we remove, because our God is greater than germs. Our God is bigger than germs. If your God's not bigger than germs, get a bigger God. The way to get a bigger God is to just read through this book once and make note of all the things he's done and believe. You know, a lot of that stuff he put on Egypt, he kept away from the children of Israel. A lot of it. The diseases, flies, lice. Man, God is in control. God is in control. We can trust him. And he talks about natural disasters here in verses 2 down through 6. Then he talks about man-made stuff in verses 6 through the end of the chapter. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease, even unto the end of the earth. Look at that. He can take care of natural, quote-unquote, disasters, diseases, but also human-made stuff. He can bring an end to it. You know, it says 452 times in the Bible. You know what it says? It says these words, and it came to pass. It's one of the most often used expressions in the Scriptures, 452 times, and it came to pass. Brethren, this is going to come to pass. I've lived long enough to see SARS come to pass, the Zika virus, the bird flu, the swine flu, and who knows what all others, and some of you have too. This will come to pass. It'll come to pass. Rule your spirit. Don't be like the world. Be an example to them. Show them that your trust is in God. And, you know, just here's a verse I saw the other day. I like this. Turn over a couple pages. We'll come right back. Turn to Psalm 55. Now, I might give you a opinion here on what God might be doing. You know, God loves people. One of the prophets said, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Amen? God has a lot of tools in his toolbox to fix things, to fix people. And he takes them out sometimes and uses them on us. And that might be what God's doing right now. Notice how it works here in verse 19. Psalm 55, 19. God shall hear and afflict them. Even he that abideth of old. Why in the world would he do that? Well, look at the rest of the verse. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. So God afflicts people. Sometimes when there's no changes and everybody's healthy, job security, money in the bank, food on the table, food in the fridge, all the bills are paid. Not a lot of those people line up to fear God. Amen? What do they need God for? Ah, but then a change comes into their life. God picks out of his toolbox and says, I think I'm going to use a change on this. And all of a sudden, that person who's perfectly healthy, the doctor says, you've got cancer. There's a change. All of a sudden, he starts doing what? He starts fearing God. See, God works like that. That's why we have the Bible. We learn things about God. And that's one of the things he does in verse 19. He afflicts people, bringing changes into their life so they'll fear him. Somebody's perfectly healthy and all of a sudden they have a car wreck. Big change in a hurry. Lose their job. You know, there's a lot of people losing their jobs right now. I mean, that stuff just trickles down. This social isolation experiment they're using on us, that's going to affect the economy. There's going to be people who are going to lose everything over this, whatever you want to call it. Your opinion's as good as mine, I guess. That's going to affect some people who were living on Easy Street a month ago. All of a sudden, there's some changes. Some of those people might start fearing God and start searching for the Lord. Amen. Why? Because God loves people. And so he sends afflictions and sufferings into our life and accidents. He allows those and he allows roofs to collapse on Job's 10 children. And boy, he had Job's attention for a few months there, didn't he? Well, I'll tell you what. Back to Psalm 46, spiritually. What is our response? Number one, our bodies, the flesh, take care of yourself, especially more now than ever. Watch what you eat. You got to eat some raw fruits and vegetables, like it or lump it. Not cooked, raw. Wash them good. You got to have some live food where there still has live enzymes in it and vitamins in it and so on. Rule your spirit. Rule your spirit. Don't let this rule you. No, don't let this rule you. Psalm 34:4 says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. There's nothing wrong if you have to today to go to God and say, God, I'm afraid of what I'm hearing. Help me. And he'll deliver you from all your fears. Rule your spirit. But there's another part of us called the soul. And that is the spiritual part of your being that can have a relationship with God, that can be saved from sin. And like the one psalmist said, my soul doth pant after God. My soul, hope thou in God. What is our spiritual response to the coronavirus? Well, it says here in verse 4, this is precious. I wish I could had time to break this down, but it says this, there is a river. Amen? Verse 4, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That's the New Jerusalem. That's heaven. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. You know what the tabernacles of the Most High are? That's you and I that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called tabernacles in the book of 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought the selfsame thing is God. Yeah, we groan in these tabernacles. If it's not the coronavirus, brethren, I love you, but something else is going to get you. Something's going to get me. You know, and we should fight death. Death is our enemy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We should fight death. Every one of us should hate death. We should say, that's my enemy. I'm going to fight it as long as I can, as hard as I can. But eventually, you and I are going to go. But we're going to be clothed upon with immortality. Hallelujah. As I was talking to Brother Mark earlier about Adrian Rogers, and I remember D.L. Moody said about the same thing. You know, Moody said, you know, one of these days you're going to read in the newspaper that Mr. Moody is dead. He said, don't you believe it for one second. I will be more alive than I've ever been before. And that's the spirit we need to have. We need to have our faith in the Lord. See, it says about, I believe he's talking about the church here in this dispensation. I know this was written in the Old Testament, but that holy place of the tabernacles, and he keeps calling her, her. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And we know the church is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. God is going to help us. She shall not be moved. There are streams that make glad the city. Or rivers flowing. It says the Holy Ghost is rivers flowing of eternal life. How he blesses us. How is your soul? Boy, I'll tell you what. We need to start preparing for some hard times. And we need to do that by strengthening ourselves spiritually. If there's ever a time when you need to break open your Bible again and start reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, it's now. Video games are not going to help you when the world falls apart. Television isn't going to help you. The news broadcasts aren't going to help you. But God's word can strengthen your soul. And prayer. Turn to Philippians 4 in closing. Philippians chapter 4 in closing. I love this. Everybody, it should be mandatory that everybody in your family memorize these two verses, word perfect, and practice them. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. Now, that word careful is an old English word, which means don't have any anxieties. Be carefree. Don't have fears. How? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I mean, just mix a whole bunch of thanksgiving into this recipe. Just be thankful to God. He's healed you of everything so far. Prayer, asking, supplication, begging, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught us earlier, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what will happen? It says, and the peace of God that passeth understanding. Now, I like to get people just to think about this sometimes. How much peace does God have? Do you think he's rattled about the coronavirus? Do you think he's in heaven saying, oh man, I never saw this coming. What in the world? What are we going to do? No, he was the one that said 1900 years. Oh, by the way, there's going to be pestilences in the last days. Perplexity among nations. Panic. He's the one that said it. He's not rattled by it. But he says today that if you will start a prayer life, will you pray about everything? Now, this sounds crazy, but I've prayed this prayer probably 1,000 times. Lord, put a hedge of protection around me. Protect me from germs and fevers and colds and flus and bacteria and everything. And if not, God has shown me what to do about it and to get it fixed. Sometimes they that are sick need a physician. I had one that really helped me just completely. God showed him what to do. Why not ask that God put a hedge of protection around you and around your family and then leave the results up to God. It says, the peace of God that passeth understanding, as you pray about everything. You got to do verse 6 to claim verse 7. The peace of God that passeth understanding. I know some of you have experienced that. Some of you have a peace deep inside of you that you cannot explain. And it's a wonderful benefit of being saved and knowing the Holy Ghost. It passes understanding. People think we're nuts. Pastor Cole, how can you come to church and make jest out of this stuff today? I'm not making jest out of anything. But I'm enjoying God today, and I enjoyed Him all week. And 2 weeks ago, and 3 weeks ago. I just need to enjoy Him more is what I need to do. And I hope you are too. Some of you know the peace of God. You know that it passes understanding. You know that you could not put it into words if somebody asked you to describe it. But this word keep is a military term about a guard. The peace of God shall keep, that is, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look, listen, if you're germophobic, you're not in God's will. You're not in God's will, at least in that area of your life. If you're panicking and you're paralyzed and you're saying, man, I can't go near human beings, I got to isolate myself. And No. You're not in God's will. God still wants us out there trying to reach some souls, talking to people, and having communion with them. I don't know if this social isolation experiment, I've never seen it tried before. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. They'll take the credit for it one way or another. It's what they do. But we're not supposed to be paralyzed from obeying our Lord, getting the gospel out, talking to people, being friendly because of these things. God's peace, the peace of God, will keep or guard your hearts and minds. Boy, that would be something else. If your mind was guarded, your heart was guarded by God's peace, nothing could get in and rattle you. But you've got to practice this yourself. You've got to be the one who is praying about everything. This is the time to get into the Word. Harder times are coming. It is my duty to warn you about that. You that have little kids, you need to have a Christian home. You need to have a clean home. And you need to have an atmosphere there where they can thrive spiritually. And all of us, people ought to see a difference in us through this coronavirus, whatever it is. Have you talked to anybody this week that's afraid of it? I have. And I just said, boy, I live in a different world than you. And we all can too. We're going to sing, God Will Take Care of You. Let's find that one, okay? God will take care of you. It's in our hymn book somewhere. Well, first one that finds it, shout it out. God will take care of you. The lady sang earlier while we're looking for it. 579-579. Boy, I'll tell you what. We need to pray for others too, maybe at this altar today that you know. Maybe this would be a great time. In His love I am secure, we shall never part. In His word I will trust and give Him all my heart. In the dark of the night, the word's missing. My heart, when my heart would fear, lovingly, tenderly, my Savior is near. When my, I know fear's, you know, they creep up on us. They catch us off guard. They sneak up on us and, you know, cold cock us sometimes. And sometimes that's my first response to something is fear. But then God takes over. And fears pass away. Amen? So this is not the time to fear. Brethren, this is time. And those that are fearing, it's producing an atmosphere for us to witness to people and show them salvation. What if something happened to you today and you died? Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? As we stand together and sing, God will take care of you. If you need to be